Okay? All right, good. All right. Needless to say, we're going to talk to you today about mothers. Now, I want all the ladies to understand this. Even if you do not have children, and for whatever reason God sees fit to give children to some ladies do not have children. But I believe many ladies that never had children, they still have a mother's heart. And they know how to help and teach other ladies, even though they may not have had children of their own. God might have blessed them with ministries to help children, either through a Sunday school teacher. Some ladies that cannot have children have adopted children. I always like to hear these stories where this couple have been trying for years to have a child, and they just couldn't have any children. So they go out and they adopt this precious little baby, and they're excited, and they have the baby for maybe, 10 months or up to a year, and all of a sudden, God says, I'm going to give you another one. And they have a child. That's always exciting, too. Sometimes I think, and I say this respectfully, I think God has a sense of humor sometimes, it comes forth in different ways, but I don't think that's being disrespectful. We serve a holy God, but he knows us and loves us, doesn't he? And he knows how to deal with us, and he knows what to give us and what not to give us. And sometimes that's okay. All right, now, I believe it takes a special kind of woman to be what the Bible defines as a mother. The biblical word that's translated mother is the Hebrew word, and if we would put it in English letters, it would be A-M-E. And I believe you pronounce that Ame. Ame, that's pretty close to the name Alma, A-L-M-A. And it means the bond of the family, the bond of the family. The word also signifies a force that strengthens and holds things together. That's a good definition of a mother. I certainly don't want to diminish the role of a father, but today's Mother's Day. We're going to talk to the mothers. Of course, the father's role was very important too, but definitely the mother's is also in the home. I believe we'd have to say that mothers are a special gift from God. I mean, they're there all the time and whenever you need them. I remember even when I was grown and I was out on my own and I had children of my own, and maybe I was having one of those days. Yes, I'm confessing. I'd go home and sit down with Mom and have a cup of tea. And maybe even let her know what was going on. And sometimes I didn't have to. She knew something was wrong or something was happening. And she always had a way of helping me get over it, if you understand. Even sometimes without giving advice. Just being there. Giving me that cup of tea. She loved that mint tea. She knew I did too. And if she had just baked something, oh, you know she was going to give me a piece of that too. But going home to Mom sometimes is just what you need, just to be with Mom. And of course, some of the most famous American leaders recognize the value of their mothers. Some of them are still living, but some of them have left this world. But I'd like to read just a couple of comments that some of the leaders from the past said about their mothers. For instance, George Washington said this about his mother. My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her. Quite a statement, isn't it? William McKinley said of his mother, by the blessings of heaven, I mean to live and die, please God, in the faith of my mother. Here's a former president that we are familiar with, many of us anyhow, Ronald Reagan. From my mother, I learned the value of prayer, how to have dreams and believe I could make them come true. Another one from President George W. Bush. Mothers are central to the success of the American family. Their love, dedication, and wisdom touch countless lives every day in every community throughout our land. And their love and guidance of children help to develop healthy and spiritual sound families. John Quincy Adams, another one of our presidents from the past. All that I am, my mother made me. Short statement, but meant a lot to him. And then President Abraham Lincoln is our last one. All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life. Just a couple of our leaders from the past and even the present. So let's look at some things today as far as the marks of a mother. We'll start off here. Number one, mothers are special because of a mother's warmth bestowed upon her children. Let me say that again. Mothers are special because of a mother's warmth bestowed upon her children. Oh, my. I'm sure that some of you can remember. If I can, as old as I am, I can remember how mom was always there. You know, when you were young, you know, you had a fever or something. She just knew how to make you feel better. You had a cold. She knew just what to give you. And just everything. She just knew how to handle it, what to do. Even sometimes when you didn't like what she did, she knew what to do and how to handle it and take care of it. A mother's love protects her child. I guarantee you, we went camping when we were younger, us kids with mom and dad. Now, this never happened, but I can guarantee you, if my mama would have seen a bear coming after one of her kids, you'd have seen Superwoman take on a role that bear couldn't have handled, because a mother loves and protects her child. Let me give you an example, a very familiar example. We preached on this not too many months ago, but turn to 1 Kings, if you would, please. 1 Kings chapter 3 is what we want to look at. Now, both of these ladies, we certainly can't say that they were model citizens of the nation of Israel. But this one lady, regardless of what her occupation was, had the heart of a mother. And in 1 Kings chapter 3, turn to it. Verse 23 is where we'll start. And this is the story of King Solomon and his wisdom. 1 Kings 3, starting at verse 23, it says, then said the king, the one saith, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other saith, nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, bring me a sword. And he brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king. For her bowels yearned upon her son, and she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. You say, well, my, that's a horrible story and a horrible illustration. But you see what the real mother was willing to do for her child? Give it to another woman to be raised, just so that child would be living. You talk about a mother protecting a child. There it is. I believe unless a mother is highly abnormal, she has a natural God-given love for her children. Now, it's sad, I know, in this day and age, to hear some of the stories that come over our news media about what some parents do to their children. It's very, very sad. But praise the Lord for mothers who have a heart for God and care for their children. Amen? That's so very, very important. And you know, that love often moves her to do some pretty heroic things in order to protect them. Just like the story we read. Although it never happened to my mother, me and a bear, or one of her children and a bear, I guarantee you she would have done something. And now we have a little story here to tell you. It was about 6 o'clock in the morning on a Wednesday morning. And James Larson of Running Springs, California, left home to apply for a job. About an hour later, his 36-year-old wife, Patsy, left for her fifth grade teaching job down the mountainside in Riverside, accompanied by her two children, 5-year-old Susan and 2-year-old Gerald. They were going to be dropped off at the babysitter's. Unfortunately, they never got that far. 8.5 hours later, the man found his wife and daughter dead in their wrecked car, upside down in a cold mountain stream. His 2-year-old son was just barely alive in 48-degree water. But in that death, the character of a mother was revealed in a most dramatic and heart-rending way. For when the father scrambled down the cliff, and I can see him now, when he scrambled down the cliff to what he was sure were the cries of his dying wife, he found her locked in death, holding her little boy's head just above the water in the submerged car. For 8.5 hours, Patsy Lawson had held her beloved toddler afloat and had finally died. But her body was frozen in death in that position that she actually was able to keep that baby's head above the water. She died that another, just so happened to be her son, might live. You say, well, that's hard to believe. No, it isn't. If you understand the heart and the mind and the desire of a mother, that's the essence of love. The essence of love. Next thing that stands out to me in our first point is a mother's love provides for her child. Mother's love provides for her child. I think of a passage of scripture that we're all familiar with. We'll probably refer to it even later on in this message. But Proverbs chapter 31, we certainly aren't going to go into that in depth because we'd get bogged down there. There's so much to say in this chapter. But Proverbs 31, look at verse 14. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. Verse 15, she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Someone has said, a mother is a person who, seeing there are only four pieces of pie for five people, promptly announces, I don't really care for pie today, so that others can have it. That's a mother. Funny thing about moms, they may do without, but their kids won't if they can help it. I remember, I guess this has to do with mom and dad, but maybe more so with mom, when one Christmas we were poor, we didn't have a lot, and it just so happened that there wasn't anything really we would be getting for Christmas that year. And I know it broke mom and dad's heart. But it just so happens that they had some good friends that happened to be neighbors. And I remember that this one guy, and I know at that time he wasn't even saved. And I know that his wife had put a lot of things together that he brought to us. But he came over, he was a big man, and he was dressed in a Santa suit. And he knocked on the door, and one of us kids answered, and he gave the ho, ho, ho. And he came in, and he had presents for every one of us, including mom and dad. Now, we kids were so excited, we didn't cry, we were happy. But mama shed a few tears behind that big smile, that she was glad the kids were taken care of. And dad rejoiced too. But I noticed that about Mama. She wanted to make sure the kids were taken care of always. A 15-year-old boy came bounding into the house and found his mom in bed. Now listen to this closely here. There's a punchline. He asked if she was sick or something. He was truly concerned. I remember Mother's Day, they'll bend over backwards to take care of the kids, you understand, and dad. Mom replied that, as a matter of fact, she didn't feel too well that day. The son replied, well, don't you worry a bit about dinner. I'll be happy to carry you down to the stove. You got it, okay. Here's another one. A mother's love pities her child. A mother's love pities her child. Look at Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15. And we'll look at verse 22 when you get there. Matthew 15 and verse 22 says this. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. A mama knows her children. Oh, does a mama know her children? She knows their strengths. She knows their weaknesses. And when their children have a problem, if they can fix it, they're going to do just that, no matter what it might cost themselves. They're going to try their best. Someone once asked this question: who was the greatest, Thomas A. Edison or his mother? Well, when he was a young lad, I'm going to answer that question for you. When he was a young lad, his teacher sent him home with a note which said, "Your child is dumb. We can't do anything for him." Mrs. Edison wrote back, "You do not understand my boy. I will teach him myself." And she did. And the results are well known by us in history, are they not? Mothers are special also because, this is our main point number two, mothers are special because of a mother's wanting the best for her children. A mother wanting her best for her children. Now, some might say, "My goodness, Pastor, this passage that you're turning to and reading, is that really a good thing to read to us?" I think so, because it gives you this at least idea. Although this mother might not have had all the facts together, you can see that desire that she wants the best for her children. Look at Matthew chapter 20. You probably already know, if you're familiar with the Gospels, where I'm going to go. This has to do with a mother and two of her boys that she thought an awful lot about. And in Matthew 20, and beginning at verse 20, it says this: "Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him." Now, this lady came with her sons to Jesus. "And he said unto her, 'What wilt thou?' She said unto him, 'Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom.'" Boy, she had some big desires for her children, didn't she? And in a sense, all mothers want the best for their children. Now, in this case, you know, that wasn't really her decision to make. We know that that was Jesus' decision. But you see the heart's desire there of a mother wanting the best for her child? Sometimes they may take it a little too far, like this mother did. But you have to give them credit for the good intentions that she had anyway. It's kind of like this mom. Another story. A mother was concerned about her only son going off to college. Now listen to this one. It has an interesting punchline too. She wrote the following letter to the college president. Now, I know none of you would do this. "Dear sir, my son has been accepted for admission to your college, and soon he will be leaving me. I am writing to ask that you give your personal attention to the selection of his roommate. I want to be sure that his roommate is not the kind of person who uses foul language or tells off-collar jokes, smokes, drinks, or chases after girls. I hope you will understand why I am appealing to you directly. You see, this is the first time my son will be away from home, except for his 3 years in the Marine Corps." Little humorous, I know, yeah. Can you imagine the son seeing the letter? Our last one. Mothers are special because of a mother's worship before her children. A mother's worship before her children. There's a couple of references here, and I think I'm going to take the time to look at them. We're making good time here today. Praise the Lord for that. Proverbs chapter 22, I want you to look at first. Proverbs 22, and I want to look at verse 6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Two other references back in the New Testament. The first one is in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's turn to that, please. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, Paul speaking to the young preacher boy Timothy, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at that. And let's look at verses 14 and 15, if you would please. It says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy, the young preacher boy that Paul took under his wing, had learned about salvation and living for God from a godly mother and a godly grandmother. And there he is in the book for time and eternity of the difference that a mother and a grandmother made in a young boy's life. Moms should not neglect their children's spiritual life when it comes to training. We run into, I mentioned this in Sunday school, we run into people sometimes when we go to door, or we go out and we visit around vacation Bible school time to get the kids out. Sometimes we'll run into people to say, well, you know, I don't push religion on my children. I'm going to wait till they get a little bit older, and then I'm going to let them decide what they want to do. Well, the answer to that is, and sometimes I give them the answer, you have already chosen what path you want your child to go down. You apparently don't take them to church. And, of course, if you send them to church, you know, and God really doesn't get a hold of their heart, by the time they reach preteen or teenage life, they're going to say, well, Mom and Dad, they don't go to church. Well, I might as well not go either. Best thing is for Mom and Dad to take them to church. Amen? Amen. Amen. Brother Caldwell, I know you're a Marine. I was going to say retired, but they say they never retire. But I can almost remember the first day that you came here to church. I think you came alone. And I believe you came to check me out and to check this place out before you brought your kids and then your wife. That was smart. And I remember the boys. Boy, are they big now. I think they're almost catching up with Dad's height by now. But I remember when they were this small. And Dad brought them to church. And they got some teaching and training about the Word of God. And I don't mean to embarrass the one that's here now, but I've never met more respectful young men than those two men. And you can thank a godly father and a mother for doing that. And you think that mom is small and she don't know how to handle boys? You guess again, I think she does. A mother's worship before her children. Your influence is greater than you can ever imagine. And you need to remember that when it comes to raising children. And when your children are raised, helping others in raising their children and giving good advice. Amen? Sir Winston Churchill once said, if we want to change our nation, begin by enlisting the mothers. Probably right. Some of you might know, if you went to college or you like to read many books, a man by the name of Robert Ingersoll. Robert Ingersoll was a lawyer, very intelligent individual as far as the world is concerned, but he was a notorious agnostic. He didn't believe you could know God. That was impossible. And he was in his heyday, and two college students went to hear him lecture. You know, after all, the world figured, knew he was brilliant. And as they walked down the street after the lecture, one said to the other, "Well, I guess he knocked the props out from under your Christianity, didn't he?" The other said, "No, I don't think he did." Ingersoll did not explain my mother's life, and until he can explain my mother's life, I will stand by my mother's God. He had a godly mother who made a difference in his life, and nothing was going to change her instruction and her opinion about a holy God, even a worldly, wise agnostic. Now, mothers, we love you, but I got a question for all of you. And even grandmothers. I could say maybe all ladies, because a lot of you are involved with teaching children. It may not be your own, but you're still a teacher of children, just by the way you live and your walk. And here's your question. What is your life teaching children? Because children are very observant and they are watching you. Thank God for mothers. I cried yesterday and this morning when I brought up the post of my brother's Facebook about Mom. I cried along with him because I miss her. And I guess a part of her is still around, because I have a number of people tell me, "You act just like your mom. Well, you even look just like your mom." And I'm thinking, man, I wish she would have left some of her thick, black, dark hair, you know. But praise God for moms and the influence that they have had on so many lives. So many ladies that sit here today. And the work that you do here, sometimes that goes unnoticed. I thank God for each and every one of you. Don't try to get out of here today without a flower. Let's pray.